I know he's at first. You've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the cunts, the dogs, the filth, the shit. Here is someone who stood up.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of You Have Tread on Me Radio. Tonight, we have got a great guest on with us. We're actually going to be broadcasting this. New news. This is actually pretty big news coming out of Arizona today. We're going to be broadcasting this first before anybody else hears it. We're also going to be talking a little bit about our guest tonight, like I said, is Casey Nethercott, and we're going to be discussing Casey's story. He was called a torturer, a kidnapper, a terrorist, a vigilante. He was called a lot of different names. He was tried for a lot of different things, and he was found innocent of all of them. So we're going to be talking to him about his little trials and tribulations with his efforts down with the ranch rescue operation that was going on in Texas, as well as what happened to him after he was arrested and after he was found innocent. He was still punished. We're going to be talking about today and the vindication that he's gotten today thanks to the Arizona State Legislature and an emergency bill that was passed. So with that being said, Casey, welcome to You Have Tread on Me Radio.
Well, thank you, Randy. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm glad to have you here, man. We've had some great conversations in the last month and a half, and I've enjoyed them all, and I'm really glad to have you on. I think that your story needs to be told. I think that, especially now with the new victory you've just gotten in the state of Arizona, that, we need a bit of good news every once in a while, so I'd like to talk about that. But first, you've got a website up. I'd like to get you to put that information out there for people. Where can they find out more information about you?
Well, the website is militiafreedom.com. That's one word, militiafreedom.com. If you go there, it's got a little insight of what's going on and some of the things that are happening. And I think people, it's a very limited website. It's just getting you in touch, showing you what's going on. I'm asking people to help with the legal fees. Once they hear the story tonight, they hear what's going on, they might be willing to help just a little bit, not a lot. We're not begging for money. We're not going out there asking for unlimited donations. I'm just trying to raise enough money to pay off the legal fees. And you should know why by this evening.
All right. Well, let's start with a bit of history.
Well, now, Randy, you owe everybody. I owe you an apology. I need all your viewers to understand that for the last month you've been talking to me, and I've had you handcuffed, gagged, and tied to your chair not to say anything. I'm sorry for that, but you really got to tell them that we couldn't say anything until this bill passed, and you're the first guy I called since it's passed.
Well, if it's not in writing, it didn't happen. So until it got signed off and everything, it was just smoke in the wind.
Right now, but it's a law. Now the law has been passed.
So before we get into this law, let's talk a little bit about the history of why this law needed to be made for you. So let's talk about that. Let's tell people who Casey Nethercott is first off, what you were involved with, and what happened.
Well, I had a couple of militias down in Arizona. I bought from Jack Foote, I bought Arizona Ranch Rescue. Not the whole thing, just Arizona. And I also had another one called the Arizona Guard. And this all started in about 99. In 2003, I was arrested for, oh my God, I don't even remember how many violent crimes. I mean, they were adding so much stuff that I lost track of how many assaults, kidnappings, beatings, torture. I lost track of it all. And this was in 2003. Well, after bailing out of jail, the Southern Poverty Law Center, a horrible organization, I may add, tried suing me and taking everything I owned. Well, it didn't work. While I was out on bail, you know, from Texas, I was in Arizona, I was arrested for 3 counts of attempted murder of federal agents, specifically the Border Patrol. And they also added 3 counts of threatening to kill federal agents. And there were so many firearms charges. And I just, you know, Randy, I got to be honest with you, I've lost track of how many felonies they've charged me with. I really have. Do you know my rap sheet is almost 17 pages? But before we get into that.
Oh, my God.
It's 17 pages long and there's no convictions. When I was arrested after the Texas thing, I was held under the Patriot Act. And what that means is you have no rights. You have no rights to anything. Lawyers, let me see here, rights. You have no rights to telephone, nothing. So I told them, fine, I'll do my own trial. I'll represent myself. And I want to fast track this into trial. I'll give you 90 days. Well, I don't want to waste your viewers' times of how badly the trial went for the FBI. But it was Monday morning, about 9:30 in the morning. At 9:56, the jury came back and not guilted me on every single charge. Not guilty. Every single charge. I had a cop on my jury. I had regular people. I had Mexican, white, and we had one black lady. We had the most diverse cultural, but they were all Americans. They were all Arizona Americans.
Hang on a second. We keep losing you there for a minute. You there, Casey?
Yeah, can you hear me?
No, can't hear you.
Your audio is very low.
You just kind of faded out into the nowhere land.
Are you there?
Yeah, oh, that's gotcha. Much better.
Okay. Make a long story short, these different culture, different people, all of them found me not guilty of all charges and let me go. Now, Texas, when these illegals, remember now I've been released a second time, now they're suing me and they're a little afraid to do it when I'm out because, frankly, I have my own militia. Two of them. What the hell? I like them so much I had two of them. And,
nice.
I did. I had one medium-sized one and one small one. And after going back to Texas, they not guiltied me on everything down there, too. What they got me on is a picture of me with a machine gun from 20 years earlier. And they convicted me of just having a picture. And they actually, one of those, you know, defense says, and we have this. And, you know, come on, it's all crap. Well, they convicted me of possession of this thing and where I was supposed to get, you know, probation or something, the judge gave me the absolute maximum sentence under law he could give me, 5 years. Not only did they gaffle me up right there and send me straight to Texas prison, they sent me straight to death row. I went straight to the Polunsky unit, death row, building 12, section E, cell 1234. And I stayed there for 3 years and 8 months. When they released me from the actual Texas death row, there has been 2 motions filed by the court. Now, your folks at home need to understand, this is not an appeal. This is not something that my lawyers did. The court dismissed the charges. Now, I don't know if you understand, folks at home knows what that means, but they dismissed the charges. The court took it upon itself and said, well, now that he's out of jail, we're just going to dismiss his case. My case just disappeared. Now, I don't know how you folks want to explain that, but that's what happened. Well, while I was in jail, the Southern Poverty Law Center sued me for every single one of the crimes that they had charged me with that I had been found not guilty of. Well, because I'm in the most maximum lockdown in the country, there's no phones, no lights, no motor cars, not a single luxury there. I couldn't defend myself. After a default judgment, Randy, and all you at home, they took my home away from me. They took a paid-off ranch I had the deed for, no loan, no mortgage, paid off, and they took it. And they said that we're going to take this in lieu of a lawsuit and in lieu of collections. We'll just call it even, and they took my home. Well, as you folks know...
All right, we lost you again, Casey. Skype with you keeps fading in and out a little bit.
How about now?
You're good to go again.
All right. Well, everybody in Arizona got so damn mad that these people did this. In 2007, Randy, can you still hear me?
You're good.
All right. They passed, my last name is Nethercott, Casey Nethercott. They passed the Nethercott law. And basically what it says is that no illegal alien can sue in Arizona for anything. Small claims court, super court, municipal court. If you're illegal, you can't sue. Well, everybody in Arizona has profited from this. You know, it saved ranchers, it saved all. But guess who's the only two guys that didn't get helped out? Me and Roger Barnett. Well, last week, and here's where we get the last week, Governor Brewer signed for me House Bill 2191. And anybody wants to look that up, they can go to the Arizona legislation. They can go to House Bill 2191. And what it states is that not only can you not sue an Arizonan if you're illegal, but it's retroactive to 2004. Now, here's where the big news is. Monday, I've got a hearing in Superior Court in Sierra Vista. We are demanding, with Governor Brewer on board, that they will return my home to me. That's where the news is, Randy. Not even Fox News has this yet. Now, there's a few problems with this, and they're saying that in lieu of because of what I've been through, they might issue a $10 million judgment. I don't know. But the bottom line is, Governor Brewer has changed the rules and the law. I'm getting my home back. And there's a lot of people that need to know this.
That's awesome to hear.
Now, let's talk about this law. Why did the Arizona State Legislature feel this law was necessary to be made?
Well, Senator Wyers and I have talked for quite a bit. So have Senator McCain. He's the federal one. I know him and the Governor Brewer. And their attitude was, you know, this has saved countless Arizonans from frivolous lawsuits by illegals. Because what illegals like to do is they like to come into our country and then scream, I'm a victim of something. I need a visa and I need welfare and I need Social Security and I need a place to live. Oh, and I need witness protection and I need. Yeah, they do this. And they do this for years to stay here. They're catching on. Well, you can't do this in Arizona anymore. Now, of all the money that this has saved and all the people in Arizona this has saved, guess who's the one guy that didn't get his home back? Me. So Governor Brewer told the senator, you passed this law. Did you know, gentlemen, that when they vote on a law, there are 60 senators. Some are Republicans, some are Democratic. Did you know that 56 of them voted to pass this for me?
So you got an overwhelming vote on, right. You got an overwhelming vote yes on the bill.
Right. The last time this happened was in World War II when they said that the Colorado River needed to be guarded by our military. And it was 58 said yes. I have the second highest vote that has ever been in the state of Arizona for a law.
That
well,
is
anyway, thing. Getting forward on this, once they voted this in, they also voted this in as what they call an emergency binder. Now, for everybody at home that's listening, that doesn't mean a trailer like you hear these senators trying to stick money in it. An emergency binder means that this is an emergency for public safety. My court date's Monday. It's either get the ranch back and a judgment. If they won't return the ranch because it's been split up three different ways, that's $10 million for forbidding the Arizona law. So as it stands, come Monday, there's going to be quite a big brouhaha over this, I can tell you.
No, I'm glad to hear that. And that was part of that good news that I had mentioned at the beginning of the show. You know, the SPLC, you know, I don't know what they do for poverty because all they ever seem to do is go after Americans. They don't go after anybody really. They go after you guys like you. They go after guys like me. They go after people that are actually speaking out against things that are destroying our lives.
Absolutely.
And they're doing nothing for poverty that I can see.
Nothing. You know, I was in court. I sat next to Morris Dees for four or five times, and I've talked to him many a times. And the person that you see on the internet and the person you see talking about, you know, civil rights, no, that's not him. First of all, Morris Dees told me it's about the money, nothing else. He doesn't care about anything else. It's about making money. And it doesn't matter who he's got to demonize or who he's got to destroy. They've got a $6 million a year budget that they have to cover. That's what matters to Morris Deese. And he doesn't care if he destroys families. He doesn't care if he destroys militias. He doesn't care what, as long as he makes money. He's a scumbag, plain and simple.
Well, you know, we have to remember that back in, back during the Warren, I believe it was the Warren Commission, the Congress was holding an emergency session to find out why all of these foundations seemed to be encouraging, supporting, and funding socialist and communist activities within the U.S. And there was a book written about it afterwards. And in this book, they go through what the findings of that commission were, and they basically said that all of these commissions, all of these foundations, and the SPLC is a foundation, no different Absolutely. Than the other ones. They said that their purpose was to destroy the American culture, destroy our way of life, and implement a merger of governmental systems between Russia and the U.S., between Russia and the Western countries. Basically, Absolutely. Merge the governmental structure so that we were all socialists. And this was their purpose.
Well,
remember. So, and this is what they're doing. I mean, organizations like the SPLC have me on the list as anti-government and a hate group. I'm pro-government. Everybody who's ever listened to any of this show knows that I am extremely pro-government. I'm pro-Constitution. I'm pro-Constitution government.
Let me help you out here. If they can't call you racist, if they can't call you a communist, if they can't call you a troublemaker, that means you're a good guy. They have to demonize you. That's why they're doing this.
And that's all it comes down to. You know, it's the demonization of our societies. It's breaking us apart and dividing and conquering us, making each other fear each other, thinking that we're some kind of subversives.
Absolutely. They want to scare you.
You know, then they use this public, the court of public opinion to take us to court, and they start saying all kinds of really bad, nasty things. They call us, you know, like you, torturer, kidnapper, vigilante.
Right. These yeah, and it works to scare people.
You know, and no jury really wants to let a torturer go or a kidnapper go. I mean, just these words alone are kind of like screaming witch in the 1600s.
Oh, yeah. Randy, let me give everybody out there an example of what's going on, okay? Can I bring them up a little bit?
Sure.
We're in federal trial. They might get a kick out of this. And the FBI gets up there, and the U.S. Marshals get up there, and the ATF gets up there, and they point their finger and say, what a bad guy I am. And my lawyer actually had three questions. He said, watch this. And he said, so my client's guilty of this, right? And he says, well, of course I think he is, but I don't want to taint the jury. And my lawyer, oh, gee, well. And if he's guilty of this, he's probably going to prison for a very long time. And he was actually chuckling, saying, well, you know, I'm not the one that threatened to kill our patriotic agents. And the third question was, and if you're lying, he goes free, right? You know, the judge ordered that agent to answer it, and he said yes. And my lawyer looked right at him and picked up the TV receiver and said, roll tape. They didn't realize that we had video cameras filming the whole thing. Do you know that of the three Border Patrol agents, one of them got back up there and said, I don't really remember, and, you know, I could be wrong. Second one just got up and said, screw it, I'm taking the fifth. Third one left. He left. When they called him back, oh, nope, I'm out of here. He left. He went in the parking lot and drove away. FBI agent got up there, sat on the stand, and the last question my lawyer asked him is, after reviewing these statements, you don't really expect the jury to believe you, do you? And he looked down and he said, you know what, man, fuck you. That's what he said to my lawyers. You know what, man, fuck you. Right in front of a jury and the judge.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, let me bring you up to date. I don't really think I should mention the agent's name. I would love to, but there's a responsibility that I have that during the investigation, you know, I know where the guy lives. You know, I know his boyfriends, his girlfriends, his kids. I know everything about him. And if I tell you his name and he gets hurt, I could get in trouble. But let me put it to you like this. 91 days after my trial, the FBI told me, oh, you mean so-and-so? Yeah, he was he went to a different job. He's no longer with the Bureau. Now, the prosecutor in my case, and if everybody's listening to me, just run the name Maria Davila in Tucson. She is now a prominent personal injury attorney. She was fired from the Justice Department for my case.
So yeah. While there is a little bit of justice done.
There is a little bit of justice in this world, and I got it.
You know, what I would like to do is go into how all of this came about. What the hell were you doing to get arrested for all of this stuff?
Well, you see, the problem is, if I have to answer that question, I will. When you run something, you can't put yourself out there every day on the line. Because if you do that, who's going to take care of your men? Who's going to take care of your organization? Who's going to take care of your militia? And what I was doing literally in Texas was overseeing something. I went down there and oversaw an operation that Jack Foote and his ranch rescue was doing. You know, I funded it. I brought men down there for him. But I wasn't involved as much as you thought. I was absolutely a volunteer. And did you know the night that they said that I assaulted these illegals and hurt them and let my Rottweiler attack them and all the, oh, God, they made so many things up. I've forgotten what they made up. But that night, I was standing 50, 60 feet away from these guys watching them the whole time. Yeah, when they were getting arrested, they were just sitting there and they were talking to them. What are you doing? And the one chick, she said, well, you know, we snuck up here, and she was a hooker. And she was. She was a Mexican whore. That's what her occupation in life is, a prostitute. And he was everybody's going to love this, a registered drug informant with the Drug Enforcement Administration. Well, after they talked to him and they got him in the van, they said they're going to drive him off the property. I gave him a couple of candy bars and some water. And by the way, I do speak perfect Spanish. I may be a big white guy, but I speak perfect Spanish. And they wouldn't take him from me, because they said that the military had been poisoning illegals, the Mexican military had. I took the canteen and turned it up and took a big drink of it. And he looks at me and goes, yeah. And he took it and he took water and she took water. Well, we took him to the front gate and they left. They blamed everything on me after Southern Poverty Law Center got involved. I wasn't arrested for anything. After they talked to Southern Poverty Law Center, after they got in with the MALDEF, I don't even want to go into that. But MALDEF is garbage. After they talked to these lawyers, then they were assaulted and beat. Then they were hurt. Now, if you like the example of the feds in my second trial, you're going to love this one of the illegals. My lawyer had the illegals up on the stand, and he said to them, so my client grabbed you by the back of the neck, or grabbed you by the back of the shirt, and hit you as hard as he could with his .45. Oh, si, senor. And, then what did he do? He said, oh, then he hit me again. Okay. Then they had me stand up. Now, for everybody who's not out there, I'm going to try to keep this non-egotistical. But, you know, I'm 240 pounds, and I got a 315-pound bench press. I mean, I'm no little guy. And they said that he had a bump on his head the size of half a grapefruit. And it was horribly bleeding bad. Oh, really? Oh, okay. And what time did this happen? 9:30. Is this you walking into the jail at 9:40? Yeah. Is this you in the camera? Yeah. Is that you turning around the camera? Yeah. You're not injured, are you? Oh, no, I wasn't injured. Was his testimony.
Nice.
And when my lawyer said, now, honest, I can tell you his name was Mancia. Now, honestly, Mr. Mancia, who told you to say that you were hurt that bad and you really weren't? He goes, oh, well, senor, mi abogados, his lawyers, and they jumped up and said, objection, objection, objection. And the judge said, sustain, don't answer that question. Yeah. So now America sees what I was up against. Absolute, complete corruption. What more can I say?
You know, there's not really much more you can say. I mean, all we have to do is really look around at our country. And if we really look at it with open eyes, take off, you know, those rose-colored sunglasses, and we really look at it.
Right. And realize,
we'll see that we are all being treated as if we're slave and cattle here, and that we have no freedom, and that they will take from us what they want. And if they can't take it, they will take our freedom. Literally. And they will do whatever it takes to put us behind bars, no matter what. Hang on a second, your voice, your mic is down again.
How are you, my friend? Can you hear me now?
You're good now again.
All right. There's been so many false charges filed against me and so many bad things that I don't, you know, I talked to Governor Brewer about it. And I said, man, would you just pardon me? And, oh, by the way, this is true. We were talking about everything that happened. I said, ma'am, would you just pardon me? And she said, why? Did you break wind? That is really what she said. I thought that was hilarious. And I talked to her about it. And she said, I'll go ahead and pardon you. But the problem is that you wasn't in our state. My pardon won't work. That's the other problem that I'm having. So one way or the other, oh, she's hilarious. She's a great governor. And by the way, we're going to change subjects here in a minute when I get done. But
hello?
Hey, are you there, Randy?
Okay, we got you back again.
All righty. She does not want in her state one organized militia paid for by the government. Do you know why? She has been told by numerous people that if she has a funded-by-taxpayer militia that is a strong, severe fighting force that she can command and control, they would federalize it and take it away from her.
They could.
Yes, and they can because the Constitution says if you have a federally or state or tax-funded militia, that the president can say, you know what? You're all now in the Army, and guess what? Guess where you're going? Pakistan. And there goes her militia. It's gone. Yep. What she wants is to continue a righteous, pro-America militia status, and she would like somebody to come along, put down a lot of money, and build a real militia, and be sincerely loyal to her and Arizona. And that's something that we might want to talk about later in the show.
We will get to that one as well, because you've got an interesting you've got some ideas that you want to start putting into work, and you know, we've talked about some of these, and I really like the idea. So we'll get to that one. I want to say that one for a little bit later in the show.
That's a little later, yeah.
Yeah, so let's talk about that now, though. You know, this federalization of our militia, and they've already federalized the National Guards.
Correct. There's no longer – I don't mean to correct you, Randy. You're an intelligent man, but you need to look at the law. The National Guard and the Army – the National Guard is now all considered U.S. Army. There is no National Guard. There is nothing that your governor can control.
No.
It is all federalized. It only takes orders from the SecDef, the generals, and the coward that we have in the White House right now.
Pretty much. You know, the governor, her role in mustering the militia was to muster the various militias of the various towns. Because if we look back through history, our militia always were and were meant to be small local units for the town. Every town had its own militia to secure that town. And then the towns in that county would get together and form a county militia for whatever problems arose. And then the governor could muster the state militia, which was all of those militias brought together. But there was never a state militia, really. You know, we were always broken down to the smallest units possible.
Yeah, that matter of fact, the ultimate... Yeah, back in those days was county militia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did you know during World War II, and this is true if you care to look it up, before they federalized the draft, what the feds would do is they would say, now, we need men to go to war. Now, we need the best you have, but we don't want, you know, to take everybody. So they would say, we have a draft, a few numbers, and we're going to send you three positions to say, you know, whatever county. Did you know being a policeman, if they drafted you, you had to go? Did you know if you were a fireman, you had to go? Do you know the only three jobs that got you out of going to war in World War II was?
What's that?
Politics, if you were like a mayor or any elected official. Second would be any physician, any doctor. And the third would be is if you were in the militia because you needed to stay to defend America. That's why I'm saying.
How far we have fallen in this country. I want to go over something real quick with you, if you wouldn't mind.
Go ahead.
Your trial that happened, and we talked about the coaching. We talked about the perjury. We talked about the law that's been passed now to get you some vindication back and to get the SPLC to pay you for the crimes that it did against you. Now, right. What are we going to be doing? Is anybody talking about what they're going to do to the attorneys and to the SPLC that coach these people and encourage them to commit perjury? Because these are crimes.
Yeah, no. Here's the problem. What the law reads, it's House Bill 2191, is that what they did in 2005 was illegal. The problem is you can't go after them criminally and arrest them because it's almost like the marijuana issue, and I don't want to get into that, but right now marijuana is illegal. If tomorrow they made it legal, if a year ago you got arrested for marijuana, that arrest would still be good because at the time it was illegal. But right. If tomorrow they make it legal, no, you can't be arrested for it. Now, in my case, it's the exact opposite. What they did was legal at the time. Now they've made it illegal because of public outcry. So bottom line is you can't go after them for perjury or suborning perjury. In other words, conspiring with two or more to perjure. But what you can do is you can hit them civilly. So what we're going to do is I have a $10 million judgment I'm presenting on Monday. And I think it's fair. It's just. We've got cases on it. And besides, the law is currently in my favor. It's black letter law. It's not like they can say, well, no, we don't want to pay it, or they can argue it. They can't argue it. The law is the law. It's been passed.
Okay, now what about, you know, we see this all the time in civil cases. What about the appeals and locking you up in court for the next 20, 30, 40 years?
Well, now, here's a good one. I'm going to take all your listeners tonight, and I'm going to make them all experts in the law, okay? When you file an appeal, it starts out in the trial court, and it goes all the way to the United States Supreme Court. Takes about 12 to 14 honest years. The appeals from the trial court to the Arizona Supreme Court have now been forfeited. So the only place they can take this is, well, Tucson Federal Court, what they call the District Court,
right,
and the Ninth. And that's it. They get two appeals. That should take 4 years. See, they lose because Arizona passed the law. They have no appeal.
They have
so
no
the appeal. The only way that they can win this is if a federal court tells them that you can't do this. They have to override the law. And coincidentally enough, your show today, right? Just for the record, Randy, why don't you tell me, what's the date today?
Today's the 22nd.
Right. The 21st yesterday was the last day they had to file on this to appeal it. It's now a law. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that nice? And, you know,
nice.
It has a ring to it, doesn't it? So with Bill 1070, the Arizona immigration law, they appealed that before the 30 days. With mine, oops, they were one day late. So if they're listening to your show going, oh, you know, oh, they can't do this to us, and they run down to court tomorrow, too bad, you're 2 days late. No appeal. The only place they can go is the District Court and maybe the Ninth. Otherwise, that might give them 4 years.
Okay.
No, otherwise, they're going to hammer.
You know, that's always been the tactic, whether it's an insurance company that doesn't want to pay out or it's somebody else.
Right, and you just appeal it. Yeah.
You just appeal it and tie it up in court until somebody dies or they go broke because they can't afford to pay. The attorneys can't afford to continue going after them. You know, but right. the corporations, the foundations, they can pay forever. They've got these people on retainer. I mean, that's our job. All they do
right.
is set up.
We also have some real lovely tricks coming on Monday. We're going to subpoena the Southern Poverty Law Center's donation list of everybody who's ever donated money to them. And I have an email set up and letters set up to every one of their donors to tell them what they have done, how they victimized me, and, oh, yeah, let them know that who you're donating money to. And, by the way, you donate money to my site, you know, wouldn't mind helping out a little bit with these legal fees. So, yeah, they're scared.
Legal fees. You know, what kind of legal fees are you looking at, and why do you need help with them?
Well, you know, if everybody out there says what an SOB I am, you know, I'm not broke. You know that. Mm-hmm. But I have put out $55,000 of my money fighting this whole thing. And You know, even if somebody said, here's your ranch back, and they can't because it's been subdivided. You know, if they said, here's your, I would still be out damn near $300,000. So the only thing I'm trying to do with militiafreedom.com, it's one word, by the way, militiafreedom.com, is I'm trying to raise the legal fees and the cost of the ranch, and then I'm going to stop raising money. Then I'm going to stop. That's why I'm hitting everybody so hard with, please send $100 or send $20. You know, there's a PayPal button on there. You could send $5. And if 10, you know, if 100,000 people sent me $5, I'd be paid back. And that's why I'm trying to raise money. I even have it on the website. When I raise enough money to pay back everything that I've lost, I'll shut it down.
Well, let's talk about that then. What was the mission of Ranch Rescue, this thing that you were engaging in that you got ended up costing you all this money, your three years and 8 months, 9 months of your life, as well as your home? What is it that Ranch Rescue was trying to do?
Ranch Rescue started out with Jack Foot in Abilene, Texas. He started Texas Ranch Rescue and New Mexico, and he also started Arizona, the one I owned. But I bought it, and I also started something called the Arizona Guard.
Hang on, we lost you again. Your mic went out again.
How are we doing? You got me back?
You're good.
All right. Well, Jack Foot started these ranch rescues. I bought Ranch Rescue Arizona, and I changed the mission to where we had two primary jobs. One was defending America. The second was the state of Arizona's defense. What I was doing is I was arresting the bad guys. I was, you know, stopping the drugs, stopping the illegals, everything. Now, that's quite a big mission, but let's face it. In Arizona right now, 90% of all their problems comes from that border. And that's what my job was to do. The Ranch Rescue Arizona was more of a like a citizens volunteer group. We had senior citizens in it. We had people in the community in it. And the Arizona Guard was just soldiers, plain and simple. Well, you know the rest of the story. I've told your audience already. The bottom line is it worked. It damn near revolutionized the, yeah, you got that, revolutionized the way people look at militia. Now, see, the current militia, well, let's not get to that. But when I start telling people, look, I have a militia, and they're like, so what? I'm like, well, it pays $1,500 a month. Oh, really? See the difference? Now you're no longer just an unpaid volunteer group, you know, struggling. We had our own equipment. We have our own patches. We have our own payroll. That changes things a lot. That makes it a real job. That makes it real dedication. That makes it plain and simple real.
In our militia, we're volunteers. But when they were active, they got paid.
They got paid? Yeah, damn right they do. And they should get paid. Now, if you want to be rich, trust me, go talk to Bill Gates. But if you need a job, I would hire you. I had some good guys working for me. Well, I had a few, you know, turds in the punch bowl. But, yeah, I probably didn't pay as well as you think. Probably didn't pay hardly anything. But you know what? We tried to pay people. You know, and we have good equipment. Because I'll tell you, I would rather have 50 well-paid lions going into battle than 150 non-paid lambs. Let me tell you, I know what I'm talking about. I have built these militias. I have torn them apart. I've made them work. And I can tell you, when you have a paid man, a paid soldier, he is 100 times better than a man who's just volunteering for the weekend.
You have dedication in there. I mean, you get a different breed of character in there as well. Mm-hmm. You really get a different, mindset, you know, an individual mindset that goes in there. You know, let's talk about some of that equipment. You know, I've seen some of the pictures that you have. You've sent pictures and stuff like that of your toys and your gadgets and things like that.
I'll plead the fifth on that. You know, the best part about, you know, owning an Edsel or a Studebaker is when you're driving down the street, people run up to you and say, wow, I want to see that. But the best part about owning a tank is, wow, I don't want to see that. You ever try to pass people on a freeway on a tank? It's quite interesting.
You know, you've, so, got, you're from the equipment that I've seen so far that you have, you're pretty well equipped. You've got APCs. You've got a plane.
Yeah. You ever notice when the guest gets quiet and he goes, how about this? Let me ask you a question, Randy. What have you seen?
I see some things that I think that we should all have. Every militia should have. I've seen the equipment that we were supposed to be able to have access to.
Right.
So not just guns and, web gear and stuff like that, or MOLLE gear. Vehicles.
Well, let me put it to you like this. Let's tell everybody at home. Before the radio show tonight, you were on Skype with me. You know what I look like, right?
Yep.
Yeah, let's tell everybody at home. Make sure you tell the truth. And you've seen the pictures of me from last month or the month before standing next to, say, certain vehicles. Think about the liability with that, though. When everybody's listening to your show tonight and they go, this dude has tanks and helicopters and what? We're not trying to hide anything. But right now, we're not ready to go public. If you go to militiafreedom.com and you look at the videos and pictures, you will see me standing next to tanks. Mine. His. Hers. Who knows who they are? Maybe they're just something that I... Well, okay, I parked them in front of my place, so that's kind of hard to fake. But, when you see all this stuff, people are going to get really revved up. And we're not quite there yet. We got a couple of more weeks of legal battle before I start really going public. Because I think America's going to go viral when they wake up one morning, the lights come on, and I got an army on the Arizona border with tanks and helicopters and men flying down the border, and nobody's allowed in. Do you realize the kind of news that's going to make?
I think it'll be big. I think it's what we need, to be honest with you. That's how our militia was always supposed to have been. We were supposed to have access to the most advanced weaponry of our time in order to defend our towns, our counties, our states, and our country, if need be, from both, from threats both domestic and foreign.
Well, with the exception of, honestly, I got to tell you right now, with the exception of some very choice pieces that are national security, I got all that. If a couple of Mexican, say, mercenaries get some Marchetti airplanes together and, they put machine guns on them and they fly across the border at 300 miles an hour and they try to strafe my place, they're going to be incinerated instantly. So I've got what I need to fight back. What I don't have right now is the money that I put out for the legal fees. I don't have the manpower right now because I'm afraid to hire right now. And the third thing I don't have right
now is I don't have the... We just lost you on the third thing.
Yeah, that wasn't a joke. I wasn't trying to cover up the third thing. The third thing that we don't have right now is we have absolutely zero support from the White House. There are times in my life that I've called that 404 number and I've been on the back line and they switched me to George and we've argued over things. There's times that I've called that 602 number and I've talked to, Senator McCain. We know that. We know that we all know one another. But that's not there anymore. This government, in certain positions, hates us all. They hate what we do. They want us to be peasants and slaves. And since I'm not exactly ready to do that, they don't like me. So right now, my big thing is I'm waiting for the election. I'm hoping that anything other than what we have now is elected. Mike Huckabee, God, I can't believe I'm going to say this, Donald Trump, whoever. Mickey Mouse, whoever they want to put up there. But who's in the White House right now is an absolute failure.
Complete. Placed on rubble ticket would be better.
Hell, I'd put Wilma in there. Why not? The problem is right now that your White House has enough power that they can shut you down. Look what they did. Look what they did to me just having the liberals. Did to me, and we had Republican rule back there. We had some morality. We had some serious good people in there. But look what happened when it all went Democrat. The world fell apart. We tripled our budget. Everybody shut down. If you don't like it, you get arrested and thrown away. If you're not careful, you can end up in prison the rest of your life on technicalities. And they will do it nowadays. So I'm kind of getting ready to go that after the election, I should be public and I should be out hiring people and running the flags and saving, you know, God bless America. But I think I'm going to wait till after the election. I really don't want to see anybody get hurt.
Well, I've got a question for you on that aspect then. You know, this is the problem that we have today. We always seem to, you know, there's always a reason to wait or to hold off. You know, Joe Martino was on the show, and he's a monthly guest on our show. He's a retired colonel. His specialty,
I caught the end of that show just the other night. I did, yep.
His specialty was insurgency. Now, he says we are at the point where our ballot box is where our ballot box is broken, our jury box is broken, but it's too soon to shoot the bastards.
Who says?
Well, that's where he was quoting. He was quoting out of somebody's book. I forgot the maybe it was Naomi Wolf. But anyways, you know, we're kind of at that. That's kind of the mentality that everybody's in. We're kind of in that holding pattern where we want to start doing something, but everybody says it's not time yet.
Well, okay. Go ahead, Randy. My thoughts on this are just
That's the point of this. That's the point of this broadcast that we do. We talk about real issues here. We debate these topics, and maybe somewhere we'll find out when it's time. You know, maybe one day we'll figure out what is what.
Randy, at Waco, okay. I think everybody in America knows that David Koresh was probably not the best guy in the world to be doing what he was doing. And I think everybody in the world also knows that those feds went in there, shot those people up, attacked them with armor. I mean, they took in Bradleys. They took him M113s. And they attacked those people for just about no reason. You can look on YouTube and you can see the shootout, and you can see all those federal agents firing at those houses and not one bullet coming back. So Americans know that you're going to need to fight back. But the question is, do we want to damage our country that much before it's too late? Do we really want to fight back using guns and bombs, and the government's going to fight back against us? And frankly, we'll win, and you know we'll win. But do we really want to destroy our country? Do we want to come to that? That's not good patriotism.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we need to rise up and start taking everything down now. We are in no position to do that. First off, we don't have our civil authority that is required by 800 years of our heritage and history, as well as the law. We must have a civil authority that the militia subordinates to, and we don't have that now. We have militia that are ill-trained, non-existently equipped. We are in no capacity right now to really stage that, but we need to start somewhere doing something now.
Well, Randy, I got
to
be...
The best time to start planning to resist tyranny is when things are good.
Right. You have to remember, right now I'm very well funded, very well laid out, and I'm very small. Because now is not the time to rise up. Now is the time to fix the country with legislative procedure, and the court system. I know that's a sore spot, but you know, three pieces of paper will shut down an entire police department one day. Did you know that? If you are a militia and you're having trouble with a police department, do you know that three pieces of paper taken to the proper magistrate will shut them down? Then what are they going to do?
Pieces of paper. Let's talk about these three pieces of paper then. What are they?
Well, the problem with me, Randy, is that I've been to law school.
Oh, yeah.
You know I know what I'm doing. But the problem is, if I, in any way, shape, or form, sound like I'm giving legal advice, they can arrest me. They can say, well, you were on Randy's show giving out legal advice. Now, hypothetically, if you wanted to talk about how, you know, temporary restraining orders work, we could do that. In Arizona, let's say you're Bob's Hardware Store. And Bob's Hardware Store is having problems from the local police. Well, Bob's Hardware Store goes down and gets a temporary restraining order. Did you know the police can't investigate you anymore? Did you know that not only can they not investigate you anymore, they're not allowed to make contact with you anymore. They're not allowed to speak with you. They're not allowed to investigate. They're not allowed to get search warrants. They're not allowed to get arrest warrants. Nothing unless they bypass the restraining order. Now, if they bypass the restraining order and they come out and arrest Bob at his hardware store, guess where they're taking him? The same court that issued the restraining order. So, okay, you went out and arrested Bob at the hardware store, and all you deputies and cops find you go sit right there in a jail cell with him for violating my restraining order. Most people don't even know this. You can defend yourself very well in this country if you just lay it out intellectually and properly. Matter of fact, I got to tell you, I have seen my men standing around with weaponry, and, you know, cops aren't afraid. But, you know, as soon as I say, you know what, let me call Governor Brewer and see what she says to say about this, they shake in their boots. Or if I get on my phone and say, you know what, let me call Judge Carnalis over there at, you know, in Bisbee Court. You know, you can't be doing this. Well, let me get him on the phone and see if we can get this stopped. They're terrified because you've turned their own system against them, and that's what they're afraid of. If you've got the muscle to back it up, if you got the, you know what I'll say, you got the balls to back it up, what are they going to do? You know what they're going to do? They're going to say, yes, sir, and they're going to back down, just like every one of them did to me. They're going to back down because they know they're wrong. The Second Amendment doesn't say the police have the right to carry guns. It says the Second Amendment says to not interfere with civilian citizens or American citizens. Says nothing about police having guns. It's us having the guns.
Well, you know, we talked about that before we came on the show about those police, and, you know, I made reference to the RCOPS constitutional show that we did on April 4th. You know, we talked, and Gary was talking about those police and our founding fathers' reference to that professional militarized body that is so detrimental to our safety and our freedom. You know, and his contention from the readings of, I forgot the individual's name now, but if you go back and listen to that archive, there was a gentleman who served on both sides of the law. He was an attorney and he was a criminal.
A criminal?
And a criminal. He was in jail, a felon. And, you know, he wrote an essay about the constitutionality of cops. And his argument was that those police are that very armed military body that our founding fathers warned us of, because they are amongst us in our streets, amongst us in our homes, and they want into our homes on a regular basis.
Right.
You know, and this was that most dangerous element that our founders foresaw for us. And we see it today. You know, and that is one of the biggest problems out there is, you know, the tyranny that we face on the streets from our own police on a daily basis. Those who are to serve and protect are really there to tyrannize and enslave. That's what they think their job is anyways.
Well, you know, the biggest way to hurt somebody in this world right now is to take their money away. You know, you can point a gun at somebody and damn if they aren't not afraid of it anymore. But you bankrupt somebody and you take their money, and that's how you destroy people. That is why I am convinced that these liberals in Washington right now are running our debts up. That's why they're running up debt after debt, and they're burying this country until one day we just cannot outspend our way out of it. And you know what? There won't be any jobs. There won't be any, you know, 40-hour weeks. There'll be nothing. The infrastructure will be destroyed. But the rich will still be rich. Because remember, if you're rich, you can stay rich and make everybody a socialist. If you're poor, nobody wants to be a socialist. See, it's amazing that guys like Michael Moore, the big film guru that hated George Bush, it's amazing he tells everybody, be a socialist, man, be a socialist, and you only need 50 grand a year, and you only need a small home. He lives in a $25 million home in California. He's worth so many millions of dollars. Why doesn't Michael Moore just give all that away and live in a little home and be a socialist? No, they won't do that because they know the only way to truly have power in this country is through, number one, patriotism, and number two, following our Constitution. And that's what they hate.
Mm-hmm. And I've always made the contention that if the American people actually participated in their government to the level that we were required to in order to remain free, it wouldn't matter if we had a whole Congress full of socialists and a president that was a socialist, card-carrying communists even. As long as we understood what that Constitution says and we enforced our freedom on a daily basis, it wouldn't matter. You could have a whole Congress full of socialist worshipers. It wouldn't make a damn bit of difference because we would still be free.
You know, it's amazing that we'll cross an ocean to kill a foreign person, but we won't cross the street to vote.
Well, you know, before in the past, I think our vote mattered somewhat. I don't think our vote on the federal level ever really mattered. Congressmen and, you know, senators and things like that. You know, our governmental body was always supposed to be that which was most local. That was where our government was supposed to be. And the further away your government got, the more tyrannical it became. And then eventually, you know, when you get to Washington, D.C., it's tyrants. It's full-blown tyrants. And the only way that we were ever meant to be free is when we controlled our local government and that government obeyed we, the people.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I think that, you know, if we, you know, we need to focus, I think that we truly need to focus less and less on the federal government and focus more and more on your mayor, on your sheriff, on your city councilman.
And you
make sure they behave. And you make sure that when a sheriff, you know, that the sheriff makes every DHS agent and every IRS agent and every FBI agent that walks into that county, he makes sure that they go and they visit him first and ask permission to even be there.
Well, they won't do that. They think they're the feds. They think they run everything. Did you know when I was arrested in Arizona for the attempted murder of the federal agents, did you know that I called the sheriff? I called 911 on the Border Patrol. Sheriff came out and said, "You're not arresting Mr. Nethercott. He's done nothing wrong. You're going to go to jail if you don't leave." Yeah. See, most people don't know these things. They don't get out. They just put bad things. They try to 15-second soundbite of death and destruction tonight. That's what they want. Now, sheriff, call the Border Patrol. You're not arresting anybody.
We're getting really bad interference on your mic coming in. Hang on a sec. Let me try something here.
Are you ready?
Yeah, you know what, Casey? Do me a favor. Hang up the call and call back into this Skype group.
Okay. You call me because I don't know.
I'll give you a call right back. I'll give you a call right back because your mic is just breaking up really bad. Sorry about this, everyone. Casey's mic was breaking up really bad, so we're trying to get him back on now. There we go.
You there, Randy?
You're much better. We can actually understand you now.
Well, you'll be the first. Getting everybody out there listening, here's how it goes. If we don't fight back, I mean, at least get out and vote. Do something. Have you seen these L.A. schools? They're filled with illegals. They come out here and they breed like wildfire, and they say, "Oh, anchor baby," and all the... These people aren't Americans. They're illegals that come here and want to, you know, cop a squat. We had a thing out here in Los Angeles in San Gabriel called birthing tours. There was a Chinese hospice down here. They were bringing 100 to 150 Chinese women in, and they would fly into America 9.5 months pregnant. And what they would do is they would drop their babies here, and they would say, "Oh, he's an American now, and he's an anchor baby. I got to bring the whole family down here." Well, you know, they almost burned that place down last week. They had the biggest riot down there. People were down there shutting it down. Finally, the cops just went there and said, "Look, we're shutting you down." Yeah, the courts shut it down. But, you know, they do this to us. They come here and they try to destroy our country with, again, money. They take our welfare. They take our Social Security. They take our health services. When do you say this isn't racism? This is realism. We're Americans. You're not. Go home.
Well, it's really not going to change as long as we have people like Christina Aguilera who get up on national TV and openly tell everybody, and you know, and it's and are supported by the news, you know, because she was being interviewed by a mainstream news media, and she said, the Bill of Rights and the Constitution are not just for Americans, they're for Mexicans. Well, I didn't know that Mexico was a 51st state.
You know what? Somebody ought to tell that bitch to go back to Mexico. And because she can shake her ass and sing, she uses the power of the media to try to fool people. Oh, it's okay. Just let us take your country away from you. You know what? If they love that Mexico so much, why don't they go back? You want to fly that red... You want to fly that red, white, and green flag. I tell you what, you go back to that lovely Mexico. You fly it back there with your drug cartels and your prostitutes at 16 years old and 12 years old. Yeah, you go back to that lovely Mexico. Oh, no, they won't do that, but they'll stay here and talk crap about our country. I got news for you. A good slap in the face changes opinions quick.
I agree. Everybody needs a little bit of reality check every once in a while. Now, that's the problem, though, is that we, the general public, are so uninformed, and even we within the Patriot community or the militias, we really don't understand what it is that we're doing. I mean, look at the militias around. You know, if our founding fathers had militia like this to work with, we would never would have become a country.
No, we would all be having tea.
we'd be having tea time and saying, God save the Queen.
Oh, God help us. Yeah, but yeah, you're right. And that's the thing. Remember, you know, I'm going to pick on white people here for a minute because, you know, I'm a white American. As soon as they call you racist, oh, okay, I'm not, I'm sorry, whatever I'm doing, I'll back down. Well, how about screw you, I'm not a racist, and no, I'm not backing down. How about black Americans, that they all want them to be called African Americans? No, they're Americans. They're on our side. How about you stand up to that? How about people who have been here with last names like Gonzalez? We've got an American here named Gonzalez. I guarantee you, it's a third generation American. And as soon as they don't go along with the illegals, what are they, pochos or bad Mexicans? No, they're Americans. Mexicans live in Mexico.
They're Uncle Juans, I guess.
Uncle Juans. Remember, Americans live in America and Mexicans live in Mexico. What are we doing calling people racist who disagree with that? This is our country. Not white people, not black people, Americans. If you're illegal, go to hell home.
Well, Franklin D. said, if you're going to come to this country, you assimilate. Bring your food, bring your music if you like, but you assimilate. This is America. You become American or you go back home.
Right. It's called being Americanized, and they don't want to do it. They want to come here and live in a third world America, and I'm not prepared to let that happen.
Well, you know, let's talk about it. You know, I saw a sign. I saw one of these picket signs from one of these protests, you know, the La Raza, you know, there's no such thing as illegal aliens. We're all just people. We this is our land type protest.
Right.
And it said, give us free money, free homes, free medical, free school, and free food, or we'll continue to kill cops on the border.
You know, I saw that sign too. And if everybody out there listening remembers, this was a 16-year-old Mexican boy. This was not an American. He was from Mexico. He was an illegal that had that sign. Let me ask everybody, Randy, not you, everybody who's listening, I want you all to get on the chat rooms for Randy and answer me this. If I would have showed up with my armored vehicles and my 50 cals and opened up on those people with blanks, would that not have made a difference? I want somebody out there to let me know what they think. Because, you know, we almost did that. You show up with three or four armored vehicles and 50 to 100 men and open up on those people with blanks and tear gas, and you know what? They would never do that again. They would not protest. Do you know they hurt Phoenix cops? There was two Phoenix cops hurt in that. They knocked them down and pushed them down. Now, you tell me why those sons of bitches can hurt our cops, trash our country, and stand there, and they said, well, that's the First Amendment? Yeah, you can exercise your First Amendment, and I'm going to exercise my Second.
Well, think about this. What if we had said, give us our freedom, give us our liberty, give us our Constitution back and our country back, or we'll begin to kill politicians or bureaucrats or police? What if we had signs that said that? What would have happened? What would have happened?
That's so wrong because... You remember, Randy, that's so wrong because you're a racist and I'm the torturer and we're these horrible people, but oh, they're Mexicans, they can do that? No. Just remember, respect the minority and majority rules, Mr. Obama.
Now, I think this is part of the problem that we have in America is that we do not stand united upon a single plan, a single focus of action. We have 10,000 groups out there going in 10,000 different directions with their own 10,000 little personal agendas, and none of them are really working towards the restoration of constitutional government or to restore our government, to restore our constitution. We're focused on 10,000 other things, but except that.
Right, and right now, the number one thing in our lives is our money, because of the way the deficit in the budget is. And the second thing is security and illegal immigration and entering this country. Do you know, if we kicked all of the illegals out of this country, do you know we would kick 11 million to 10 million people out of this country? Now, you look at our country right now. We're at 10%. We have 30 million people out of work. Okay, if we kick 12 million illegals out, half unemployment, over. So I ask you.
But they do jobs that we won't do.
Oh, that's a bunch of crap.
Americans don't want.
You tell me that you're going to take one of these out-of-work dads living in an apartment with his wife, hustling for food, you know, 5 seconds ahead of an eviction notice, $8 an hour to pick grapes. Are you telling me he's not going to do it? No, he's going to go do it. I'm not saying
especially if they have no options. You know, if there's no welfare, there's no option. You're going to go do that job.
Right, but they can sit around on welfare and get fat and make babies and say, well, you know, it's a nanny state. No, I say you get your ass out there and pick grapes for $8 an hour and bring $320 a week home. Don't give it to the illegals. Give it to Americans that are out of work. Because this whole nanny state stuff, nanny state means that they want to be a Greece where all their money comes from the government and all the taxes go to the government. No, I'm not paying for some illegal to have heart surgery. Let him die. Now, if an American needs it, whole different subject.
Well, we can't do that, though, because, you know, for some reason we are the protectors of the world and we have to take
who says?
I don't know.
Who says that we have to stick our nose in everybody's business that has nothing to do with us? Now, on that.
D.C. and the U.N. D.C. and the U.N. say we have to for some reason.
Well, who the hell is that? I don't work for the U.N. I'm an American citizen. I don't do globalization.
There we go.
I don't listen to global law.
There we go.
You know, Randy,
we keep forgetting about that. You know, we don't have to listen to these people. We don't have to.
You know, Randy, technically, the United Nations, the way it stands right now, can go to their, you know, kangaroo court in Belgium, and they can say that Casey Nethercott is a terrorist, and we don't like that he has a militia, and issue a warrant for my arrest. Now, does anybody out there know what happens?
Yeah, you go to international court.
No, you don't.
You get extradited.
You cannot extradite an American off of American soil.
You're not supposed to be able to.
You're not supposed to be. What they're doing is they're taking American citizens, let's say you and I, Randy, go strolling down to Tijuana, and we want to drink the tequila and eat the shrimp and all that. They arrest you in Mexico, and they deport you to Belgium, and they try you. But see, in America, they can't do that. What they're trying to do is with the UFAB Act, is they're trying to make it where anybody for anything can come in here and arrest you. Now, let's fast forward a little bit. Mexico goes and says that I'm a terrorist because I have a militia, and I'm not letting their people in. Even if it's bull crap, what they're going to say is they're going to say, we have a warrant for Casey, and we're going to bring him down here. Now, you really think they're going to do that? No, because we'll fight back. Now, think about all they have to do. They can go to they went to Donald Rumsfeld. They said they wanted to arrest him for the Iraqi war. They can't arrest Bush, but they tried Rumsfeld, and they said no. So our Constitution is what saves us, and they're trying to get or circumvent that. They're trying to make us the peasants and them the rulers. It is a government by the people, for the people. They are subservient to us.
Very true. They forget that, though. We forget to remind them of that, and that's the problem. You know, we engage in protests that have no teeth. We go somewhere for an afternoon, and we go home. We pat ourselves on the backs, thinking that, saying to ourselves, you did your duty today, and they don't care. 2 million people marched on D.C. 2 million. It got less than 5 minutes of airplay on any news station.
Right.
And to this day, to be honest with you, I forget what it was about. But
Randy, let me give you
on DC should have left a lasting impression, but it doesn't because they did nothing.
Right. Let me give you another example. Does anybody like paying $5 a gallon for gas?
Hell no.
Okay, well, nobody's doing anything about it. So here's what I say. 1 week notice, not this coming up Monday, but the Monday after that, nobody goes to work. And I don't mean just anybody. No, screw the doctors, screw the nurses, screw the cops, the fire department. Everybody stays home. Gas will be $1.50 a gallon in 3 days. Every single truck driver on the road, shut your truck down on the road, throw it in park right there on the freeway, throw it in park, hit your emergency four ways, and get out and start walking. I quit. You know what? This country will take 24 hours and gas will be $1.50 a gallon. It will. It'll be $1.50 a gallon. Do you think anybody has the balls to do that? No. But if we as a militia say, hey, we're not going to buy gas, well, who cares? You guys are nobody. That's the problem with Americans. Like Rush Limbaugh says.
It worked before, though. You know, back in the 70s.
Right,
it worked. Yeah. It worked, and it worked fast.
Yep.
We forget these things.
And people forget that, you know what? That's why we really protest. Fix it or else. You put it or else behind it, and it gets fixed.
You know what? I hate to look to European countries as an example of what works because, damn it, you know, they're even worse off than we are because they've already become part of that communist bloc again with the European Union. That's just another bloc. You know, but let's look at France. You know, even with Sarkozy, who was, you know, the cheerleader for the globalization of the world, the people have shut down the country numerous times in the last year alone. They've shut down the country. Planes aren't flying. There's no fuel being pumped. There's nothing going on, and everybody is in the streets.
Right. Do you know that Angela Merkel, she is the leader of Germany, just said, she came out and addressed all of Germany and said, this is very difficult for me to put, but the bottom line is immigration into our country is just not working. If you're not a German, we don't want you here. She just said that a few months ago. And they said, as for coming here, if you're not going to be a German, go home. We don't want you. Now, everybody says she's they jump on the bandwagon. So she's a Nazi and she's no, she's just right. She's just right. If we could just take America and say, look, enough is enough. Go home. We'll give you 90 days. If not, guns come out. Go home. And it'll work. And America will be fixed. And the gas, oh, my God. You know how to shut down the world? America could do it. Everyone say, we're not doing it anymore. No. If we did it, gas would be $1.50 a gallon. There is no reason gas should be $4.50. There is no reason. You know, in Saudi Arabia, gas goes for $1 a gallon. In Venezuela, I know, don't get me started there. Gas is going for $1.85 a gallon. And do you know why it's going for $1.85 a gallon? Because 85 cents of it is taxes for Hugo Chumpez, or however you say his name. So, yeah, it's they're just breaking us over the coals. Fight back, America. But no, they won't. As soon as you stand up, 50 people sit down. That's why I'm in the militia. I want men and American men and women to stand up. If you're a coward, sit home and take what they give you. If you're an American and you want to stand up for yourself, get on my website and give me a call.
You know, I think that's part of the problem. You know, we don't learn our history. We don't know our history. You know, if we look at our protest today, what we call a protest, they would never have even considered a protest back in our founders' days at all. They had real protests then. You know, they actually engaged in action that had teeth. Judges were kicked out of towns and counties and told never to come back, and they swore they wouldn't. And they didn't. Even those judges who were kicked out of their homes and out of their offices for violating the rights of Englishmen, they upheld their honor when they said, I will not come back, and they didn't. You know, that's what our protests used to be like. We don't have protests anymore. You know, we used to go out there with pitchforks and torches and guns. Today, if somebody goes out with a .45 on their belt, it makes national fucking news.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Well, we need to get them used to that again. If we don't start exercising our rights, it's all going to be lost.
You know, and think about this. You know, think about this. When we're talking about these protests, let's look at the battle in Seattle where the Seattle police just went apeshit on everyone. You know, what would have happened if everybody in that protest was out there carrying a weapon, because that's what Americans do. We are armed and we bear them. And what if everybody was out there carrying a weapon, not just a little 38 or a 22 or a 32, but a rifle, a big rifle, a main battle rifle, and we were equipped? How much brutality do you think would really be going on in our streets today during our protests or during a traffic stop?
Zero.
You know, every day Americans have a choice on whether we're going to be free or not and how we're going to treat those who engage tyranny upon us. And the more we take it, the less we're going to have eventually. You know, and a lot of it could just come from, you know, big guns are a damn good deterrence. And if everybody was walking around armed, there would be a whole lot of deterrence to police brutality.
Randy, can I jump in here and try to help you guys with something?
Sure.
Okay, when you get pulled over by a cop, remember the no. Okay, you need to know. Here's what you need to know. Hand them your driver's license and say, sir, can I see your, no. Can I search your, no. How about it, no. Step out of the car, no. Do you know that is the answer to all their questions? No. If a policeman detains you in any state in America, anywheres in America, and he detained you for any reason, and it's not a felony, after 12 minutes, it is a law. You are obligated, not obligated, but the law says that you are now being detained illegally. It's time to leave. Drive away. Now, if let's say, for example, you get pulled over by, let's just pick a city, LAPD, and a cop walks up to you and says, can I see your license? Yeah. What are you doing here? None of your business. Step out of the car. No. Let's go over this a little bit now so everybody who's laughing and snickering at me knows that I'm telling the truth. For one, if a cop says step out of the car and you say no, well, let's say he pulls his gun on you and says, get out of the car. Okay, you do. He's just kidnapped you at gunpoint.
Yes, he has.
If he doesn't arrest you, he has kidnapped you at gunpoint. And when he says you're free to go, you say, you're not. Pull out your cell phone, call 911. Help! A guy with a gun's trying to kill me! And you know what? Those cops, you just do that to a cop, and you'll change the system. Now, here's another one for you. Let's say you're being stopped by LAPD officer and you tell him no, 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 no. And they get tough with you and they look in the parking lot and you got 10 of your buddies with AR-15s. Who are they? Oh, they're my militia. Are they going to call out their SWAT team? Sure, in 6 to 8 hours. But in 6 to 8 seconds, this thing will be over with. You need to understand that fighting back, America, is not wrong if you're wronged. You need to stand up for yourself and don't listen to these liberal cowards of never do that. Oh, be passive. Really? That's not what made our country. That doesn't work. That's what they want you to believe. Americans fight back. They stand up for themselves. They don't go out assaulting people. They fight back.
Damn right.
You know, let's look at that. You know, right after we won the Revolutionary War, what happened? We went into the Whiskey Rebellion, which almost toppled our country because...
Oh, did it ever.
...the fought about was being implemented on us again. The Shea Rebellion in Massachusetts. You know, Americans stand up when there's tyranny. Whether it's politically, whether you stand up with your voice on your soapbox or you warn them, I'm armed, you leave me alone. We stand up. There's reasons places like Texas have castle laws.
Understand, in Arizona, you don't need a permit to carry a gun. You just carry one. You know, it's kind of a fine line between being a criminal and exercising your rights. You know, I don't want to see an L.A. gang member strolling down the Phoenix Boulevard with an M1 on his back. But... In the same token, he's an American citizen. Well, if he is an American citizen, and if he's not doing anything wrong, he should have that right. I figure we got 20 more minutes. Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, let's finish out. We got another 45 minutes. We can finish out.
All right.
But guys, look, you have to understand people.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
We just got crossed here. I was talking to technical. Sorry about that out there. Randy, we got to remember, fighting back is not a bad thing. Standing up for yourself is not a bad thing. If you're driving down the highway drunk and you want to fight with the cops, you're an idiot. But if you've done nothing wrong and you've been on the side of the road for 15 minutes while a cop tears your car up and he says, well, you know, you're free to go, my answer to him is, well, you're not. You need to fight back. We need a better educated society. You know, I really upset people with this. But do you know the guys that show up to work in flip-flops and shorts, 50 pounds overweight with beards, that want to work from 11:30 in the afternoon to 1 in the afternoon and be on their cell phone for the hour lunch? Those are the guys that don't make it in this world. Those are called liberals. They think that everything is rosy and colorful, that, you know, we're so persecuting everybody. But let's face it, we need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to the American man standing up for our country, his family, and himself. And if we don't get back to that, it's going to get real ugly in America.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's what this country was founded on. And we've gotten away from that, and it is starting to get ugly as a result of that. You know, we don't have to wait for it to happen. It's already here.
Okay, so let me talk to you about Arizona for a minute then, okay? Because that's where you're at. That's your home. Let's talk about Arizona for a minute.
Well, Randy, before you get into that, you better tell everybody that my business, where I work and make money, is in downtown Los Angeles. My home is in Arizona, though. I'd rather not tell everybody where it is, but I'm a two-stater. I go back and forth. Business here, live there. So we should make that clear to everybody right now.
All right, so you're in two states that are on the border. The problem that, you know, I see a lot of this, you know, California is the same situation, okay? We got problems on the border. We got massive problems on the border, along that entire border, from California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. You keep going, and it's the problem is there. Now, I see people from all over the country going down there to help out. And, you know, great. If you're going to do something, you know, if that's how you want to help out, help out. Where is the support from the locals, and how are we going to tap into that? How are we going to start getting these Arizonans and these Californians to start actually and supporting and defending that border? And not only that, but helping those that are on the border, helping them.
Randy, first of all, look at me. They took my home away from me. They locked me up 7 different times when I was... Do you actually think the average American is willing to risk their lives to go do that? The answer is actually yes. There are quite a bit. What we need to learn about America is that people can do more by helping, by donating money. Do you realize in one more year, I'm going to have an army on the Arizona border? I know it sounds like I'm talking big, but you need to tell your people there, all your listeners, what you've seen, what I have. I'll have an army on that border. And you know what? It'll be there for 90 days. Because after that, we're out of money. Do you know people can do more by going, well, I'm going to plug it, militia.com, and donating money. We start militias. We have men on the border. It buys helicopters. It buys tanks. It buys food and boots and beans for my men. And you know what? Of all these militias out there that talk smack, how tough they are, no, they're not. They're 4 or 5 guys going out there taking photo ops. They don't have armored vehicles. They don't have manpower. They don't have things that fly. They don't have the will to win. We do. Okay, I know. Lots of people talk like that. But you've seen it. You know what I'm talking about. Americans can do more by donating a little bit of money. You know, I used to say that to get an American citizen to donate $100 to keep the border clear, safe, and closed, it's like pulling teeth, but he'll sell his soul for a brand new 4x4.
See, that's for $40 before he gives you 10.
Oh, God, yes. He'll spend $40,000 on a new 4x4 that he can't afford. Then, you know, he'll be like, well, gee, I guess we just won't eat this week, but I got a new truck. But he won't send us $40 to keep the border safe, to keep his job secure, and to help with the economy. They could do more by donating money and helping out than they can by putting on their hats and their glasses and going down there.
Well, we have to remember, again, let's look to our history. You know, when we read books and we get off of YouTube, we actually open up a book with paper pages in between it, or electronic pages now. We got electronic books now. When we actually read, we find out that during our revolution, the vast majority of people that fought in that revolution did not actually fight. They supported those who did. They supplied them. They equipped them. They fed them. They housed them. They clothed them. They
Correct.
Did whatever it was they could do. Because, let's be honest, you know, I had WC from the Silent Sons of Washington, a SOG group out in Washington, and like he said, war is a young man's game. You know, and there are those that he would not have on the field with him because they're not safe. They're a hindrance. But those people can help in different ways. You know, and that's what I think we forget. We need to start working and supporting the Constitution. And if we do that, that means we're going to support our militia. We're going to support our committees of safety. We're going to engage and we're going to equip them. We'll supply them if need be, and money as well. You know, if you look back to the documents of the committees of safety, you'll see that they were actually going around collecting money from the town people to pay their militia when they were active. If there was no money, they would go to the townspeople and start collecting, and the people paid because they understood that's what was required.
Did I lose you, Randy?
No, I think you're back now.
Okay. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to interrupt you, sir.
So, go check out Casey's website. You can find his website at militiafreedom.com.
Yeah, it's one word. Just spell out militiafreedom.com. Look for the big fat bald guy on the cover. That's me.
And you're going to see what Casey's trying to put together. And I'll be honest with you, hell, if I was all over Arizona, man, if I was down in Arizona or close by, I'd be down there in a second, Casey, to be honest with you, because that's what we need.
I know.
Randy, That's what we need.
I got to tell you, if every single working American, not mothers and children, all that, if 110 million Americans sent me $20, there would not be one illegal alien cross the Mexican border. Not one. And the federal government would absolutely panic because I wouldn't take one tax dollar to do it. I would shut the entire border down with men, armor, and UAVs. And I'll tell you what, I can do it. I'm damn near where I can shut down. I can shut down now with 2 or 3 weeks notice. I can get all the guys together and shut down counties in Arizona. We're not doing that right now. I don't want to fool anybody thinking we are. No, we're not ready for that. But with a little bit of notice and a little bit of funding, can you imagine shutting the entire Santa Cruz down or Cochise County down? The entire county, armor, men, flying things on the border with UAVs, and this is shut down. No illegals, no drugs, no criminals. Now, if you imagine if I got the right funding and I shut down these states, do you realize what it would do for our economy? It would come back because we start deporting all these people, and guess what? Jobs open up. Illegals have your jobs. They're not just picking grapes, man. They're busboys, they're waiters, they're UPS drivers. They're out there. Something's got to be done. Randy, I appreciate it. MilitiaFreedom.com. If we could plug that all night long, it would be great.
I want to bring about that point. You had mentioned that, and let's look at a situation that arose recently. You know, Schaefer Cox was arrested. Before he was arrested, Schaefer Cox in Alaska, he said he had, militia in Fairbanks of 5,000 people. And I got this email from Norm Olson, saying, hey, we could use your help. Please donate. Now, I don't have a problem helping out, with money and things like that. But my question was, and as my question always is, to the groups in Arizona, where is the local support? So the first question out of my head is, the email says they're trying to raise money for Schaefer to pay for, living expenses, so their home isn't foreclosed on because they're going broke, as well as legal expenses. So living expenses and legal expenses. So I start putting, I do the math. This is what I do. I'm a business major. So I start putting the numbers in, to paper. 5,000 people at a buck a pop is $5,000 a month. I'm sure that covers most of his living, you know, his living expenses, as well as possibly even some legal fees. At $2 a month, which is about the price of a cup of coffee that most people buy on their way to work, at $2 a piece, that's 10 grand. He's paying for his living expenses and he's paying his legal fees. $5,000 a month and all it's costing his militia is $2 a piece. Nothing that'll break you, nothing you'll miss. Sacrifice your cup of coffee. That's all it requires is a sacrifice of a cup of coffee.
And I agree.
Jail,
I agree.
He abandoned him and he's going to sit in jail now, even when, you know, we don't know. I don't know if he's innocent or guilty of whatever it is, and I really don't care. But my point was is this. We don't support each other anymore. We don't support the Constitution. And that's why we're always going to remain divided until we begin doing that.
Right. That's why I get such this. There's such a gentrified way of asking for money. No. If everybody just sat down, and I'm not talking about giving to everybody, but when you find someone legit like your guy up in Alaska, okay, send him $20. I'll send him $5 when I get off the phone or when I get off your radio show. But you know what? You have to get everybody motivated.
That's it.
Do you know that that is the easiest way in America to get something done? Just get everybody behind you. Send $5. You know, as soon as I raise the legal fees and what I lost, I'm going to go full-blown back into this. You'll see me back on the news every night. It'll be world news. But until we get our ducks in a row, we can't do that. I got people in Missouri. I got people in North Carolina. And if I call all these people and say, men, it's time to go to war. Let's do this. And you have hundreds and hundreds of men. Where is the budget to pay for it?
Where's the food? The supply lines. Where are your supply lines?
Yeah, remember the SLUT, supply, support, logistics, tactics. If you can't supply it, you can't support it. If you don't have the logistics, you can't have the tactics. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. I have done this for years. And if I don't have the American people behind me, guess what? You're going to be overrun with illegals. The Border Patrol does nothing. Do you know down in Arizona, almost 80 miles from the border, our federal government put up signs, danger, drug dealers in the area, illegals in the area, don't go down there. Now, what the hell is that? Why aren't we down on the border with M60s saying, don't try it? No, they won't do that. But they'll go defend some damn country in the middle of Liberia or Libya or whatever, Qaddafi or whoever he is. But they won't defend our own border? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not only that, not just that, though, you know. Any action that we engage in where we expect the government to do their job or to acquiesce to we, the people, we can expect that act, you know, we can expect the, you know, whatever it is that we're trying to get them to do to fail because they're not going to do it. So,
correct.
And we go back to self-governance, you know, the right of self-governance, because that's what we're based upon. You know, what about all these ranchers that are on the border? You know, they have.
You don't have to worry about them. They're just killing them. You don't have to worry about them. They just kill them. Yeah.
But I'm saying, but if all of these people in all of the areas, you know, if all the people in those areas, in those counties that are being affected the most, all just banded together and said, we're going to stop this, the problem would be stopped.
Right, and they wouldn't even have to do that. When I get back to work, all they have to do is donate money. But they won't donate money, they won't lift a finger, but as soon as they kill Grant, they kill the rancher down in Cochise County. They just literally ran across a bunch of dealers moving drugs, and they shot the guy. Now, he shouldn't have to be out there defending his family, even though he can. Why don't you let us do it? But no, they won't send money. They won't get involved until what? Somebody gets killed, then it's too late. Then they want your federal government to do it, and they don't want to do it. That's the point I'm trying to make. Somewhere, somehow, somebody's going to have to open the checkbook and say, okay, I'm going to help. Do you know if Bill Gates donated $10 million right now to my organization? $10 million would be like you taking a $100 bill out of your wallet, Randy. You might miss it, but you could do it if you absolutely had to. If he donated $10 million, I could close the Arizona border for damn near the rest of the year. There would be no illegals, drugs, or anything else coming in. Nothing. Something to think about. But no, he wants to feed African kids and Umfufu kids and Umzulu kids. And why don't we feed American kids? We've got plenty of kids in the Ozarks starving. What about kids in Chicago? What about, you know, kids in East L.A. that don't eat at night? No, he wants to help other countries.
Well, that
shows you what...
You know, this idea that we're in, this New World Order thing that we keep hearing about, this is not a new idea. This has been written about since... Plato first wrote about it in 2300. In fact, H.G. Wells openly stated, Plato is the blueprint for the New World Order. His book, The Republic, correct. That is the blueprint. You know, so this is not a new thing. But the problem is that, you know, all of this stuff that we're talking about, the distribution of wealth to other countries, other people, it, you know, again, it's not our job to pay for them. It's not our job to give them their freedom. Something given is never respected. Something that,
correct,
something that you earn yourself is always respected because you paid the cost of getting it. We should lead the example of freedom and prosperity to the world by being free and prosperous here and let them get their freedom and their prosperity in however ways they figure out they need to do it. That's how we should be helping them, by being the example, not by giving them everything that we work for, especially when right now in our country, 40% of the people are the only ones supplying 100% of the taxation. The other 60% of the people, they're getting a government check, whether it's a job or welfare. You got 40% feeding the world.
Right. It's got to stop. I'm not doing it anymore. You know, have you ever thought about these, all these welfare recipients going to them and saying, you know what? We got a job. I got an idea. How about get your fat ass out there and pick them grapes and get rid of those illegals? See, what you said earlier about Americans don't want those jobs. No, we've got plenty of prisoners and welfare recipients that'll go out there and pick grapes and pick oranges and everything else. And if they don't do it, guess what? They lose their welfare. They lose their unemployment. No, America knows what to do. They just don't want to get tough because of these bleeding crybaby liberals. Anyways. I don't want to sound like I'm too hard on people. I know we need welfare. I know we need certain social programs. Slap my face. I know socialism. Look, we need Social Security. We need welfare. But it's being so perverted, it's time to just shut it all off and say, you know what? Fend for yourself. We're not going to be nanny state.
You know what? If we look back to the writings of our founding fathers again, if we read... We will find the cure for wealth. We will find the cure for welfare. We will find the cure for all these social programs that you know, you just mentioned that we say we need. They wrote about it and whose job it was. You know, who was it? Davy Crockett. He wanted to give money from the coffers of Congress to help people in Georgetown who had suffered from a fire. He was reminded by the people in his district that that money was not his to give. That it was the community's responsibility to take in their own people and to help them out. It was our job, not yours, and it was not your money to give them. And he didn't, because he was reminded of that. And those people were taken care of. You know, I'm sure some of those people were taken care of. I don't know. Maybe not all of them, but it doesn't matter. So that's how we need to get back to that area where we take care of our own, and our government is there to do a job, and that is to ensure our freedom, and that's it. That's the only job it has.
Absolutely. So one of the big problems with the social programs we have now is that they're designed to keep people dependent, to keep people in poverty. If they were designed, you know, for the communities to help these people get back on their feet and become self-sufficient, they wouldn't have to continue to rely on the welfare checks month to month to month to month anymore. That is what we need to do.
Hey, guys, where's the government program to be a millionaire?
Where's the what?
Where's the government program to be a millionaire?
Well, you got to get involved in government in order to become that. Business.
See, there is no program. It's you know, slavery almost. It's here's your monthly check, here's your food, here's your bills. Don't ever do anything with your life. You know what? I guarantee you right now might cause a few deaths, and that's not a good thing. But if you stopped all welfare checks in the United States of America, half all those people would be working within a couple of weeks. You know, half of them would be taking all these great picking jobs and orange picking jobs. Oh, half of them would be working, guys. And you know they would. Because it's easy. You get a check, you get lazy. It's nanny state. It's got to stop.
I agree.
You know, you guys, have you pulled up militiafreedom.com?
I've been on your site many times. I've been on your site. I've told some people about it. I was waiting to get you on the show, though, before I really started to announce anything about it.
Well, I understand, because that was my doing.
Gag order. You wanted me to keep
you my... You under gag order, I know. But, you know, guys, in the 2 hours we've done the show, I've got almost 40 hits on my website. That's really a good thing. People are actually starting to look. And I really do appreciate it, you know. Militiafreedom.com is... I'm really kind of proud of it. You know, all we're going to do is raise enough money to pay back the costs, and that's it. I'll take it down. And with this show being so good and all the militia guys out there listening and, you know, having a good attitude, I think the word got out. You know, this is one of your best broadcasts, Randy. You did a good job. I ask everybody, militiafreedom.com, if you wouldn't mind. And, you know, you have treadonme.com. You've really done a good one tonight. I really appreciate it. If we're about at the end of our time, Randy, anything else you have you want to talk about?
No, that's pretty much it. You know, like I said, we kind of just brought you on. We're doing this show tonight as a special broadcast because of the bill that was passed. I wanted to get that around and out there. You know, so you know, that there are some victories being made out there, and hopefully... You know, that this will allow you to engage in your plans to do what you want to do as well. You know, I wanted to promote and support the idea that we do need to support each other. You know, not just ground pounders on the ground, but those around us, just like the colonists did with our militia back then.
I agree.
This is what we need to do, and to, you know, express some of those ideas and talk about some of the things that are going on the border, because let's be honest, that place is volatile. And from that, we're getting a bunch of, you know, and it's not just on the border, though. It's spread out through the entire country. You know, there is La Raza chapters throughout every country. There's Azteca Nation chapters throughout every state. There's Brown Berets damn near in every state. And they're all saying genocide upon American white people.
Right. And that's racism. And it's got to stop. They hate white people. It's the same as hating black people. It's racism. And it's got to stop. Those Brown Berets are literally criminal gang members and nothing more. They are garbage. They are as bad as Maldef. They hate our country. And I say to them, if you really want to hate us, if you are true patriots to yourselves or your cause, move back to Mexico and hate us. But get out of my country. Randy, I got a deal for you. What do you say? I'm heading to Arizona next week, and I'll be there for a week doing some legal affairs. What do you say the week after that? I come back on your show and I let everybody know what happened. How's that?
I'd like to do that, man. Let's bring you back on. I'll get with you after we get off here. I'll throw a couple of dates out at you. I'm actually scheduling for the next 2 months, so this works out well. We'll just get you booked in. I'll throw you some dates and we'll go from there.
You know, I would really appreciate it.
You know, I know that you've been running back and forth, and I know you're probably tired, and I'm actually kind of tired myself tonight, so... You know, why don't we go ahead and just kind of wrap this up now? I know we're, you know, this wasn't one of our, you know, scheduled shows or anything like that. So let's leave it like this. Again, tell people what they can find. You know, tell people about your website, how they can get in touch with you, especially people in California, Arizona that want to get your, you know, that want to either talk to you, network with you, help you out, whatever it is. How do they get in touch?
It's real simple. If you go to militiafreedom.com, there's an email on the back. You click on it. It goes straight to either myself or someone else in Missouri. We do screen the emails because, you know, we've had some death threats. Once in a while, you get some stupidity. And, you know, the porno and the garbage that spam, we get rid of that, so we have it checked. But if somebody out there sends me an email, I'll get it within 3 days. I'll read it within 3 days. Militiafreedom.com. And anybody that donates $100, I guarantee if you donate $100, you'll get a phone call to me and we can discuss what's going on privately in the world. I guarantee you'll get that. MilitiaFreedom.com. It's all one word, everybody. MilitiaFreedom.com. Randy, thanks for having me on the show, and your other guy that's on that we didn't hear much, thank you too, sir. And if there's anything else I can do, you all let me know.
No, I'll get back with you. I want to hear what goes on with this with the court, with the judge. I want to hear about what happens there. So, you know, let us know what goes on there.
I have a feeling it's going to be something like a case of Kleenex, because that's what he's going to need to stop all his tears.
Well, you know what? If you get the money, put it to good use.
Does anybody? This is very quick, and I don't know if anybody out there is going to get it. But just remember this, 2.2 of the Arizona Canons and Statutes for Judges says if they do not follow new legislation, they're impeached. I don't know if anybody out there figures out what that means, but maybe somebody will. Guys, thanks for having me on.
Do his job with this law, he's going to be impeached.
Well, I'll let you be the judge of that. Thank you all for having me.
You take care.
Thank you for coming.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for everything.
All right, everybody, that's the end of this broadcast. I want to thank you guys, for those of you that listened, for coming on. This will be up on the archives here shortly. Dave was having computer problems or internet problems the last week and a half. Each of our broadcasts have been touch and go, seriously. They've been really shaky. But he seems to be back up and running a little bit better. So we'll be getting the archives up here shortly. He hopes to be caught up by this weekend. This one is going to be in the broadcast here as soon as it's done. But seriously, when you think about this, you know, when you're wondering what's going to be happening in your community, you ask yourself, how much have you supported those around you? That's how much support you're going to get in return. You know, this is not a sit back and watch, you know, spectator sport. This is a game of participation. It is a game of supporting one another in whatever role it is that you find yourself best suited to play. You don't have to be a ground-pounding pack humper, but you do need to support the cause of the restoration of the Constitution. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. If we stay divided and we stay unorganized and we stay without a plan and a goal of what it is that we're actually trying to strive for and how to fix the situation so that this new thing that we create won't have to face these problems again. Because we've learned from the mistakes. We've filled the gaps. We've broken the ways that they had to come in and corrupt our system. We have that here on this show. You can find it on the time for, you know, the plan for the restoration of the constitutional government at Outpost of Freedom, outpost-of-freedom.com. The petition is on the website as you're listening to the show, youhavetreadonme.com. You can also find it on Gary's page as well, outpostoffreedom.com. So go there and look at those. Read through them. You know, the petition and the ways that we restore this, you know, that is a template. You know, that's completely up to a constitutional Congress, Continental Congress, to decide what the final result of our efforts will be and how it will happen and what this new thing will look like and the wording of it. Well, we put forth one hell of a template for it to go off of. So take a look at it. That's what a real goal looks like. Take a look at the plan. That's what a real hypothetical plan looks like. Covers all the bases. And if you're feeling really feisty, we've even got a longer version that goes into even more detail. We've got 10 audios up. You can find them really easily convenient at the same site as well. Over at outpost-of-freedom.com. It's parts 1 through 10 of the plan, or parts 1 through 11. I forgot how many parts there are.
11
parts, and then there's the four or five audios there about specifically about committees of safety. Gary compiles those. They're real, so it's convenient. Everybody can get to them really quick and easy. You can also catch all the archives on our website at You Have Tread on Me. Mail list, if you want to keep up to date on the shows that we have coming up each week, I send out an email about it. That's pretty much all I send in the email. Let me know. Email me at randymack@youhavetreadonme.com. And I'll add you to the email list. All you got to do is put subscribe me in the subject line, or just say add me to the email in the body. Join the Committee of Safety mail list as well. There's a link at the very bottom of the chat room at uftreadonme.com. If committees of safety are your thing, and even if you're in the militia, you can belong to it. You just can't be on the executive body. It's wonderful the things you find out when you continue to read about our histories and you read through the actual documents of the Committees of Safety. It's amazing what you find out. But get on that mail list. We're starting to get that very active. We're going to start. I'm actually going to start working on that one every, you know, putting through at least two emails on that a week now. Writings, ideas, suggestions, topics, whatever it is. So join the Committee of Safety mail list. It's not going to be garbage going through there. There's not going to be forwarded messages, anything like that. It will be Committee of Safety, specifically related. Other than that, get active. Do something. If we continue to do nothing or we continue to engage in the actions that have not worked, we are going to fail. We will not see our freedom. Our freedom will disappear. We will engage upon an Orwellian system, the likes of which the world has never seen. That is a reality. So what are you going to do today? What kind of positive action, what teeth are you going to engage in? What kind of infrastructure are you going to build that will last? How are you going to help promote the restoration of the constitutional government again? It's a lifestyle, people, and it's not an internet lifestyle. So with that in mind, everybody out there, thank you for listening. I truly do have the best audience out there. You are some of the most incredible thinkers and doers I've met in my lifetime. So spread the word. Help get more people listening. And with that being said, everybody be safe, be free. Dave, anything in closing?
I think you said it pretty well. Be safe, be free.